Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Monday morning with the Birds. They get the W in KC. Obviously get to 2-0 and put KC in a heck of a bind with this season. Look, it was another grinded out type W, similar in many ways to games last year. And the Eagles put another one in the win column, which is great to see. Look, we'll get into it extensively today. The offense and defense, really two different stories, I'll say. Phils, congrats to them. They reach the playoffs over the weekend, which is outstanding. They don't clinch the division yesterday, but that's okay. They'll get it in the next day or two. So a lot to discuss. Obviously, we'll be heaviest on the Eagles, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Horned lizards shoot blood out of their eyes.
That's wild.
Yeah, to scare off predators.
That would scare me.
I think so, too.
It's yeah.
Super gross.
Of course, I'd also be scared even if it didn't shoot, you know, blood out of its
thing,
eyes.
I had a thing about
just
eyes.
It's a lizard, you know. It's no good.
You know, I had the eye surgery when
yes,
I was a little boy when
course.
I was five.
Yes.
And afterwards, the whites of my eyes, there was, you know, like blood.
Yep.
You know, red.
Yep.
And it freaked me out so
imagine.
Bad.
Yes.
And I couldn't open my eyes when I first awoke from surgery. And it was, you know, the scariest thing that I'd ever experienced to that point in time.
I would
and
imagine.
So still, to this day, yeah. I have major issues with eyes.
Don't
poke me in the eye.
It really
messes me
Dude,
up.
Dude, it ended Bernie Perrant's career. Got hit with a stick in the eye.
Oh, my god!
I think he couldn't see for 2 weeks, and then he could see, but he couldn't play. I believe that's
so
all it ended.
Delicate,
yeah.
You know?
All right, let's get to this Eagles thing. There's a ton happening. So, you know, for me, this is, and I'm curious if others feel this way, this is one of those torn reaction games from my standpoint. You know, obviously happy they got the W. It's the kind of win ordinarily I would celebrate more given in Kansas City. I'll just tell you first yeah. and foremost, I don't think Casey's very good. I think they might be headed to 6 or 7 wins. Now, maybe when those receivers get back, that changes it up. We don't quite know when they're all going to get back. But, you know, bottom line is, I think they're a mess. To me, it looks like Mahomes and Chris Jones versus, like, the whole other team. And that's not good for them. We'll table that for now. But I'll just say this going into this. I don't think Kansas City's that good. And so I take the, you know, what ordinarily would be incredible victory in Kansas City, honestly, with a bit of a grain of salt. That's my perspective. Now, things that were positive, obviously getting the win, stacking a win, when trying to find yourself in September, as we saw last year. Impressed with their competitive fire, as I have been for, you know, 4+ years now under Sirianni with Hurts. I mean, these guys fight. There's no question about that. I think the defense so far in the early going of the season is highly encouraging. And I thought yesterday was particularly encouraging. Now, again, a little bit of a grain of salt. I don't think Mahomes is working with much out there. He also had some misfires. And obviously, Kelce had the drop, which was huge. But generally speaking, 2 weeks into the season, given that there was going to be a lot of change, I think the defense has done a really, really nice job so far. And that's good. But I got to tell you, the frustrations to me may outweigh the positives as I emerge from, you know, last night into this morning. The offensive struggles are very similar to last year's regular season in a lot of ways, except they're not running it as well. And they're not even passing it as well. So to me, that is a concern. I do think a lot comes back to Hurts. I know a lot of people are talking about the new coordinator. And it's hard to discern after 2 games where exactly the lines are. I mean, it's hard to know. It's impossible to know. It's hard to even kind of try to get to know, figure out, so to speak, you know, where one ends and where the other begins. I know this. If I was A.J. Brown, I'd be really frustrated. I'm sure he is really frustrated. And so, you know, you got to hope that they can pick this up. Saquon, something looks, you know, a little off, not dramatically off, but a little off. I don't know if that's wear and tear from last year. I don't know. But so far, a little not the same. And obviously, the passing game, not great. Now, look, Hurts did 3 things exceptionally well. Number one, tush push. I mean, it was a massive part of winning the game. Number two, poise, as he always does. He doesn't get rattled. I thought he handled the blitz in a really effective fashion, not by passing it, per se, but by not getting sacked often, which is an important part of keeping drives alive and all that good stuff. And then the third thing, of course, not turn the ball over. So in many ways, to me, it was sort of like a 2024 Eagles regular season formula win. That's how I saw it. Curious how you saw
how
it.
How you see it is wonky,
and what your takeaways are, 215-592-9494. What do you make of that assessment? On point, off point, what do you think?
Off, because that defense is one of the best in the NFL. The Chiefs' defense, I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
They got Steve Spagnuolo behind the well, not behind the scenes, on the sideline,
sure,
pulling the trigger, calling the shots, designing the schemes, and that really does make things tough sledding at times for everyone. When Kansas City plays teams that aren't the world champions,
yeah,
or aren't, you know, Green Bay-ish type, you know, quality opponents, they're going to look good.
I don't think they make the playoffs. I'm just pointing that out to you right now. I don't.
I doubt that they won't make the playoffs.
We'll see.
Anyway, what I took from that, the game, I'm not taking anything further from the Kansas City, mm-hmm, Chiefs, except they're not anything close to what they were.
Yeah, they're not elite. That's clear.
I can't explain a lot of why. But I know for our purposes, I love Jihad Campbell's defense, the way that he plays. This Makuba guy, initially, I thought, hey, this is going to be like, oh, it's a lot of talk when people say, hey, he's a ball hawk. Mm-hmm. He's around, always making plays. This guy really is always making plays and always around the ball. And I love his attitude, and I love the way he hits. I love the way this defense runs and hits and punishes people. I was, you know, troubled by one thing yesterday. That was Jalen Carter. He was gassed because he didn't play week one. That affected, yeah, the way that he played. I was also worried about the fact that he's got a stinger, you know, and that he's holding his arm, and it obviously is affecting the way that he's playing at times.
When did you notice that? What quarter was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, he was holding a fair amount. Yeah, it was on the broadcast.
So, you know, that will be an issue moving forward. But Za'Darius was awesome.
That was unbelievable.
He was incredible,
man.
He
was great.
Making plays from the get-go, looking up to see the play. You know, like the guy is a pro. The guy knows how to set the edge in the NFL and how to get quarterbacks on the ground. So I thought that was really a huge bonus. He is going to make our team so much better, Za'Darius Smith. So the backers, the way that they blitz from depth now, and they're active, and they're, you know, not exactly delay blitzing, but they're not showing the blitzes. That makes it really hard for anyone. You know, you can't anticipate that. Pat Mahomes didn't have a chance, in part because our linebackers are everywhere, and it's so cool to be that team.
So a lot to react, obviously, from what John said. What hit you? 215-592-9494. Seltzer, how do you feel this morning?
I feel good. Honestly, I get that people are frustrated with the way the offense looked, but it's the first month of the season. Let's not forget, a little under a year ago at this time, people wanted Sirianni fired after game five. Like, they're 2-0. They went into KC and got a win against a team that needed the win more than they did, and it just got blown out in the Super Bowl and had that hanging over them, yep, revenge-wise. I'm really happy with the Eagles today, personally.
Good. Ray, what about you? What do you think? What are you feeling?
I thought Saquon had a better game than you did. I mean, he grinded out 88 yards. And, you know, and that huge, you know, run that he had late to, mm-hmm, seal it.
Yep.
So
one and the touchdown were probably his two best.
Yeah,
I would
and
think.
So, you know, we're looking for the home runs, you know, the 60-yarders, the 70-yarders. But he grinded it out. And, you know, the point is that, yeah, do I love 101 yards passing? No. I mean, AJ's got to get – I'm not overly thrilled with – what they did at the end of the first half when they chose to kind of just...
So I loved that. I thought Sirianni might have won the game with that.
He might have. I hated it.
No, I get it, but yeah. I thought he outcoached Andy with basic game management. I thought that was an example. I thought it was sharp because they weren't going to go whatever it was, the 35 yards. So to me, what's the point of a tush-push to get the first down when then you just got to call a timeout and kick a field goal basically from
because
the same
length. Maybe you can go the 35 yards. Just maybe.
You had two timeouts.
You had those timeouts. Yeah. If I'm an offensive player, I want to go for it.
Jalen didn't look happy.
No, he wasn't happy.
Not. I'm ticked off that he decided.
Yeah, you guys know my theory. Back to last year, I think it still holds. I think they are still continuing to be very careful with what they put on Jalen's plate.
And listen, it worked. He didn't turn the ball over.
Right.
Mahomes did.
Yeah.
Or Travis Kelce.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As the Eagles move to 2-0 with a 20-17 win in Kansas City over the Chiefs. And the guy on the call yesterday, Merrill Reese, joins us right now for a Merrill Monday. And no surprise, Merrill, all this football team does is win. Merrill, good morning. The Eagles are 2-0.
Merrill.
They are. And what a way to start the season. And beating Kansas City out there is no small feat. Believe me, they did a great job.
They did. Hard-fought game, defensive kind of game. Merrill, let's start with the defensive side of the football. You know, when the season started, I thought it might take them a little bit just because they lost a lot of defensive players from last year, veteran players, very young defense. But Merrill, Vic Fangio and all these young defensive players, what, you know, the first half against Dallas last week, a little shaky, but the last six quarters, the second half against Dallas, and then all day yesterday, Merrill, they've been phenomenal. Jahad Campbell, Andrew Makuba, adding to the other young guys we've seen the last couple years. Very good performance yesterday.
Yeah, even the new guy, Za'Darius Smith, made a couple of big plays.
He really did. And Merrill, it's once in a while a player will, you know, kind of hang out and not sign and then sign. And you kind of, I wonder how much he has left in the tank. Merrill, I thought he was really good yesterday against the run and the pass. Yeah.
Yeah, he really was. The defense as a whole was very, very impressive. And you know what? The offense is going to be fine, too. I like the fact that Jalen Hurts is playing under control, not making the foolish throw, not forcing things. He takes what the defense gives him. And you know what? That offense is going to come along, too. It's like baseball where the pitchers start out ahead of the hitters. Same thing. Defenses start out ahead of offenses.
Well, it's felt that way in both the first couple games for the Philadelphia Eagles. Merrill, let's talk about the offense and the play they made to kind of seal the game, which was when Jalen Hurts was blitzed and he dropped back and he launched up a deep shot to Devontae Smith. What a play. You know, obviously Jalen getting the ball out against the blitz, but then for Devontae to go up and win that one-on-one, that felt like the play that sealed the game.
Well, you know, there is nothing that Devontae Smith can do that's going to surprise me. I mean, anything he can reach, he can possibly come down with. He's a great toe tapper. He's got great vertical ability. He's a great athlete. He's amazing. He really is.
He's an awesome player. And look, when they call his name, he seems to make that play a lot. Merrill, another guy that seems to be a playmaker on the other side of the football, and you got to call his first NFL interception in the regular season yesterday, Andrew Makuba. We just keep hearing this kid's always around the football, and the more you watch him, Merrill, seems like he's always around the football.
Well, he is, and that's what they said when they drafted him out of the University of Texas, that he is a ball hawk, and he makes things happen. And we saw his first action in the preseason was a pick six.
It was, and he hasn't stopped. I mean, that play yesterday, that swung the whole game, because then they were able to go down and score and take all that time off the clock and a 14-point swing there for the Philadelphia Eagles. Merrill Reese joining us here as the Eagles win 20-17 yesterday.
Joe, let me ask you a question.
You're sure?
Have you ever seen Patrick Mahomes miss so many open receivers?
Not like that. And he missed a Thornton by about 10 yards on that shot where he was open.
He was wide open. All he had to do was just toss it up in the air, and he overshot him by 10 yards.
Yeah, he made a play late to get them back to within the field goal, 20-17. Yeah. But I agree with you, Merrill. He missed a lot, and I wonder how much that was. He just was kind of seeing some ghosts because the Eagles blitzed him a lot, Merrill. They didn't blitz him much in the Super Bowl. Yesterday, Vic Fangio brought the pressure, and I thought it made him uncomfortable.
Well, I think so, too. I think so, too. most of the damage, aside from that last pass, was done with his legs.
It was. 2 weeks in a row, he's done a lot with his legs, more than we're typically used to with Patrick Mahomes. Mara, I want to ask you about Jake Elliott. You know, you've always been a believer in him, and you felt, I remember last year when we talked about him, you said he'll be fine, and by the time the playoffs rolled around, he did very well and helped them win the Super Bowl. But he's off to a much better start in the regular season this year. He only made one field goal over 50 yards last year. He's already made three of them now, Merrill, this season.
Well, you know, they don't talk about it, but I think he was not 100% last year. I think that he had some kind of a hamstring pull in his plant foot. I don't think he was 100% until the playoffs began. But Jake is money in the bank. I always say TGFJ. Thank goodness for Jake. He is so reliable, and he's just got the right mentality.
Well, and he put 8 points on the board yesterday in a 3-point game. They needed all of those to get that victory over the Chiefs. Merrill, let's look ahead a little bit here. Next time we talk to you will be Sunday during the pregame when the Eagles take on the Los Angeles Rams. It should be a good one, Merrill. They gave the Eagles a challenge in the postseason, and they're off to a 2-0 start here in the 2025 season. Eagles-Rams on Sunday. What's your first thought on the game?
It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a battle. I still think the Eagles are the better team. It's going to be great coming back here. This crowd is going to go nuts. You're going to see, you know, when you go to Kansas City, you see nothing but red. I mean, it's unbelievable how red that stadium is, but I think this Sunday at the Link, you are going to see a lot of green.
It's going to be a great one. Eagles and Rams on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Merrill, thank you, as always, for hopping in. Great call yesterday, and we'll talk to you on Sunday for the pregame show.
Okay, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Hugh.
Have a good one, Merrill.
There he goes, the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Yes, Jake Elliott's back, Hugh.
Yay.
Yeah. What's that? He's the best kicker in Eagles history.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
All he does is win, Hugh. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know how y'all want me to respond. I just say yay.
Yeah, well, maybe a little less like sarcastic.
I know
it was not meant to be sarcastic.
Do you remember last year he didn't want to name Jake Elliott the best kicker in Eagles history? He was still on his guy, David Akers.
On this guy.
His guy, your guy,
yeah,
David
I
Akers.
You said this guy. Yeah, no, that's my dog.
Yeah, but Jake Elliott's better. I mean, it's just.
David Akers will kick Jake Elliott's ass, though.
That's not in a fight.
Yeah,
but who's talking about that? Why would I want them to fight?
That's all I got left in this this here.
Okay, that's good.
That's an admission.
All Jake does is win.
That's an admission that it's over. That Jake Elliott's
now you're talking about sarcasm. That what Kyle is doing is sarcasm.
Is it wrong?
I ain't saying nothing.
How many rings does Akers have?
He is being sarcastic.
I am most certainly not, sir.
Pettily sarcastic.
Why?
Pettily.
Well, why can't we do that for kickers? We could do it for anyone.
I'm just saying, it's pettily. It's pettily.
All Andrew Mukuba does is win. All Jake Elliott does is win. They win.
Winners.
I hear you. You don't get under my skin saying that. That does not bother me.
Hugh gets jealous of the guys with the ring.
I do not get jealous. Yeah, I had a nice run.
Yeah.
Yay.
215-592-9494. Let's go to J-Dog in Douglasville. What's up, J-Dog?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up, J-Dog?
Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I just wanted to give you my thoughts real quick. Just props to the Phillies real quick. I mean, this team finally looks like a World Series team. I think they're playing relaxed, confident. Everyone's playing, you know, for each other, and Topper's gone off script, kind of just doing whatever it takes to win. I think this could be our year. I'm pretty excited about that.
Tonight could be the clinch night. And J-Dog, I got to put you on hold. There's something, the phone, the
it's
feedback.
Yeah,
it's bad. I want to take your call. We'll get back to you. And we will spend a couple minutes on the Phillies later. They did have a mostly good weekend. The magic number is down to one. Tonight could be the night out in L.A. And it's the last big series before the postseason because they are up 4.5 on the Dodgers. They get at least one. We're in good shape. They get two. We're in great shape. They get three. Obviously, they're going to be the two seed. So I'll be up tonight. It's a big series for the Phillies in Los Angeles. We'll touch on them coming up in a little bit. Let's get back to the phone calls.
Night.
It is busy. We got a lot going on. We got two Monday night games. We got the Phillies trying to go for the clinch. All fun stuff. All right, let's go to AT in Overbrook. What's up, AT?
What's up, guys? It's been a minute. Thanks for taking my call.
AT, what's up, buddy?
Always listening, always enjoying it, man. Like, it's always good in Philly when we win and get the sports radio, going to get entertained, going to have some laughs, going to have some stuff to think about, like this passing game. But I feel like I'm happy we got the win, but you got to look at the constant coordinators changing. That has to mean something. So you got to go with the habits of Jalen, who's just going to play a seat. He's not going to put the ball at risk, and he's going to allow his whole entire team to help him win it. And you got to respect that, man. You got to you know, and that's what we're seeing.
So, AT, I'm glad you brought that up because I do think, and look, we can't do anything about it. It is what it is, but it's a reality of having a head coach who's not the play caller that we're going to have these seasons, right? Like sometimes he's going to hit on these coordinators. Steichen was a hit. Kellen Moore was a hit. Brian Johnson obviously didn't work out. The jury's still out on Kevin Petullo. But this happens, AT. I mean, down in Baltimore, John Harbaugh has been there a long time. He doesn't call the plays. He's had some really good coordinators, and they've gotten to a Super Bowl. They won one. Lamar's had some MVP years. But then he's had some coordinators that haven't been that great, and the Ravens haven't really been that great. It's unfortunate because the offense changes every year, and it's going to make it choppy for Jalen as he's trying to figure out what a new coordinator, AT. It's a big part of this thing.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good season, man. We're going to strap in, and I think we'll be back in the game.
Well, if they play defense like this, they're going to have a real chance to be there. AT, man, we appreciate the phone call. And, like, I think the passing game will get better. I think we all do, but so far, it's a thing. I mean, let's not pretend it's not. Let's get back to J-Dog here. I think his phone is better. What's up, J-Dog?
Hey, I guess. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So anyway, I just wanted to give the props out first. I think this could be the year. I'm excited what they're doing, and I think this could be, you know, our last chance. But so, again, just props to the Phillies. I think I think things are going to happen here. But going to the Eagles, it was a win, man. I think that my thoughts are, I think that this was a game plan. I think that our coaches outcoached their coaches, we don't need an identity. I think if we had to have an identity, our identity is we're going to run the ball. We're going to, just take time off the clock. We're going to, work with the tempo. We're just going to take what the defense gives us. I think that the most important, I think, is Jalen Hurts is just incredible. I mean, as far as mistake-free, this guy just does not make mistakes. If he doesn't feel comfortable down the field, even if there's people open, I don't think there was much open. I think they were clamping. You saw Tom Brady say it. But even if he doesn't feel like there's something open and he doesn't want to throw it, then fine by me. Don't throw it.
Yeah, and with defense they have, it's really been a tremendous formula, J-Dog. J-Dog, we appreciate it. Last 19 games, Eagles have 8 turnovers, and they've taken the ball away 39 times. Hugh, that's a ridiculous ratio. 39 takeaways to 8 turnovers last 19 games.
Yeah, and that's how they got the game. He didn't put up the gaudy numbers that other quarterbacks put up to win games, but he didn't turn the ball over, which is huge. You see what happens yesterday when you get a turnover in a game of that magnitude and how it could change the momentum of the game. He took 2 sacks, huh? You'd rather him do that than turn the ball over.
Again, you're right. And interceptions, he hasn't even put the ball in harm's way. I will say he did have the fumble on the first drive of the game.
Yeah.
He can't do that. I mean, they got lucky they recovered that. 215-592-9494. We'll hit on the other side. Your phone call is coming up. Your biggest takeaway from the game here yesterday, was that a win is a win, or that pass game's got to get better? All right, we'll also get to what's been the Eagles' best play for years now. It was on full display yesterday, and the complaints we heard about it from that baby, Dean Blandino. Let's talk about the Tush Push coming up, along with all your phone calls. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are back. A victory Monday on the WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickie's in South Philly. Eagles beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl rematch. Ike, your thoughts.
Victory! Sing it!
High Eagles fly on the road to victory. High Eagles fly, score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit 'em low, hit 'em high, and watch our road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Come on, man.
Here we are.
It's a crowd of 10.
Well, I was told that would have been an acceptable loss yesterday. I guess the Eagles didn't feel the same way.
Damn right they didn't.
They went to Arrowhead. The Chiefs had revenge on their mind. You know what the Eagles had on their mind? Just a W. Just another game. So what'd you see there, Ike? That's a big win. That's a big win.
Listen.
Schedule like this, you can stack wins like that?
Yes. You let me go.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I wanted to make sure you had your breath.
Yes.
Yep.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, listen. It was a solid quality win on the road against a desperate team, right? In a hostile environment, and it wasn't pretty, but getting a W in the end is what matters most. So, what do I take away from that game? Right? You always think going from week one to week two, you should see a drastic improvement. That's what you usually find with a lot of teams. I didn't see a drastic improvement on the offensive side of the ball yesterday, but I did see a great improvement on the defensive side of the ball yesterday. So I'm certainly encouraged by what I saw yesterday. Drew Macuba, my goodness, this dude is a magnet for the football. That's always a great trait to have. So the defense comes up with another big turnover late in the game. Now, there's a lot of time left on the clock when that interception happened, but it seemed like Kansas City was gaining some momentum. That was a long drive. So to not end up with points there, get the interception, flip the field, and go down and get points on the other end, I thought that was obviously the turning point of the game. So I want to give credit to the defense. Makubu also had half a sack. Za'Darius Smith, new Eagle, welcome to the fam. Listen. 52 looks a little odd on you, but what the hell? You look great, period. I mean, from a physical standpoint.
He looks ready.
Yeah, that's what you need from a defensive end. Great against the run. Also can get after the quarterback. Great job in his debut. Want to throw him some shout-outs from yesterday. And then Jake Elliott.
Automatic again.
Jake Elliott through two games. Seems like he's back. He's 3 for 3 for field goals over 50 yards. We all know watching him last year, that was a bugaboo. Kicking field goals over 50 yards last year, it wasn't even a 50-50 chance, I don't think. I don't know what the exact numbers was. I know I didn't feel comfortable.
I think he was 1 for 7.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, so it wasn't even 50% last year over 50 yards. He seems to be back. Offensively, Saquon, I thought, had a nice day running the football. Not a great day, but a nice day running the football. Had some big runs when needed, especially. The passing game, let's be honest. There's something wrong with the passing game right now. I don't know what it is. We seem to be very conservative in the passing game, which to me makes drives harder to get points out of. We got to get that fixed. We have to get that fixed moving forward. If we want to beat the best teams and be the best at the end of the season, we're going to need explosive plays through the passing game. And throwing for 100 yards, That's just not going to get it in this day and age. You put too much stress on the other facets of the football team when that part of the team is not actually giving you a whole lot. It means the defense has to play great. It means the running game has to be great. We need to get the passing game going, and I think that's going to open things up for the offense. You put more points on the board, defense can pin their ears back, get after the quarterback, create turnovers. All of those things have a trickle-down effect. Right now, I think we're sputtering in that area, and that's why we're seeing a choppy offense that doesn't ever seem to have an explosive, dynamic player when we really have several dynamic, explosive players on offense.
We're paying them off at least $30 million.
Yeah, I don't know which it is, Spike, and we'll get through it today. People want to point the finger at Kevin Petullo. I don't know how much of it is that. I'm not even seeing play designs that are down the field as much. We saw a couple yesterday, but last year it seemed like we had more of an explosive offense in the passing game.
215-592-9494. Real quick on Za'Darius Smith before we get to he's already their best edge.
I agree.
It's good to have an established guy in there, and it was great that he popped in the first game. And the other thing, real quick thing on Makuba, is that not just the interception, but the run back was exceptional. Even though he got caught by an offensive lineman, the fact that he got us, you know, great field position was great, too.
And was there on a half a sack.
As far as the passing game and who it is, and are we going to be having the same conversation 2028, 2029? I mean, like, I just – it was a big win, and we should be happy with the win. And with this schedule, you go into Kansas City the second week of the year when they're in a desperate situation. Any win at Arrowhead is a big win. Absolutely, 100%. As for the offense and the passing game, I have given up. I've given up. I'm not worrying about it anymore. I'm not going to say this needs to happen or that needs to happen or blah, blah, because it would be crazy to do so, because you can't just keep looking at the same thing over and over and over again and hoping that it would be different. You said that the play design looks simple, and I agree with you. It does. It doesn't look like it. But how many different offensive coordinators have to be here for us to have the same exact comment about the offense? We said the same thing in 2023. I remember watching those games down the stretch in 2023, and every passing attempt was he would snap the ball, he would look around, and then he would run to the Hurts would run to the sideline, either throw the ball away, get sacked, maybe rush for a yard, something like that. And last year ended up being the same thing. How do we get A.J. Brown more involved? He was 40th in targets in the entire NFL. A.J. Brown was. And here we go again. This year, we have 150 yards, and Jalen played well in the first game. Did not play well yesterday. I don't want to hear it. He had 100 yards, 100 passing yards, 100 passing yards. This is crazy. The Dallas Cowboys defense that we had 150 passing yards against just gave up 450 passing yards to Russell Wilson. And I know they were missing a cornerback yesterday, but that doesn't go from 100 passing yards to 450. That defense that we faced yesterday gave up 330 yards passing to Justin Herbert, almost all to his wide receivers. And here's the thing. We can chase our tails and blame the coordinator, but it's been the same issue for three straight coordinators, and there are two constants. It's Jalen and it's Sirianni. So, like, maybe it's a combination of both of them, maybe it's one of them, but we can't do the thing where we say that it's Jalen's offense and Jalen calls all the plays, and doesn't he do this amazing thing at the line where he figures out what the right play to call is, and then when we can't pass the ball, then it's somebody else, then it's just the coordinator. And I swear, if I see the phrase scheme someone open one more time, if it was just so easy to scheme somebody wide open, do it every play. Just do it every play, and somebody will be open every play. The fact of the matter is that he doesn't get the ball away quick enough in the plays that he needs to, and he's a split second late. And in game one, it was easy because he went after the first read. If the first read wasn't there, he ran the ball. But we had a really good defensive coordinator yesterday, and we talked about it at the end of last week. That's not always going to work. Mm-hmm. The other team's going to be able to. So I'm just like giving up on that, and I'm saying this is a really good team with a bunch of great players and a good defense, and they will go as far as the running game and the defense take them. But I am not just going to, first of all, I'm not going to every week say they need to get better at this, they need to get better at this, and then not have it. And I'm not going to be gaslit into thinking that just scoring three more points than the other team means that the offense did their job. We don't do that with the defense. We don't say Adoree Jackson played well enough to win in the first game. Nobody says that. They won, so he must have played well enough to win. It's just like, I agree with you. A good passing game would open everything up for everyone. It would put less pressure on the defense. It would put less pressure on the running game. Everything. They would be a better team. But I just don't think they can. I just don't think they can. Last thing. We thought that the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl would be this window into what we would have this year. We have the exact same personnel on offense. We have an offensive coordinator who has been pass game coordinator for 3 years, 4 years, however long it's been. Yep. We have consistency in there. And if other teams, if Daniel Jones can go in and score 30 points a game, if Lamar Jackson can go and score 30 points a game, if Josh Allen can go, we can too. We have enough personnel to do it, but we're not. So I am happy with the win. I am happy with the team. But as far as the pass game goes, I don't know how many times we can talk about the same thing, not see it, and then pick somebody else to blame other than the quarterback and the head coach.
Well, here's the thing. It's 2 weeks into the season.
Yep.
That's the good news.
For sure.
That's the good news. It's 2 weeks into the season.
Absolutely.
Things can certainly get better, but we need to recognize, I know it's difficult to do that the day after the game.
Sure.
Because everybody wants to rejoice and celebrate in the win. I get that. But if we're talking about championship football and championship-level football, this has to get better. Just does. It has to get better. I don't know if you can – because Saquon's not – first of all, it's been tough sledding for Saquon to get the yards that he's got through two games. So teams aren't allowing these big explosive runs like we saw last year that we could lean on in the running game.
And he looks great. And there was something about the explosive runs last year that was not lucky, but it's not going to happen every year.
No.
Sort of like turnovers.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Some years you're going to have a great year with turnovers. Yeah. Some years you're not. And I think explosive plays in the run game are something you can hope for, but not something you can plan on.
No, no, not unless you're Derrick Henry, because he just runs over people at times and then he breaks. But most other running backs usually get bottled up after a while.
And the other thing that I think we do when we say the pass game was good enough to win, mm-hmm. and we give the quarterback credit for the wins, is that we're not giving credit to the players on the team and the units that were the reason for the win when we do that. The way the defense played and Jake Elliott mm-hmm. played yesterday, that was the reason we won the game. That was why we won the game. We didn't win the game because of the offense. Now, the offense didn't turn the ball over,
yeah.
and that was great.
They made some plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the big play to Smitty.
For sure. Absolutely. And there were two big plays to Smitty, right? There was the screen yeah. pass that ended up big, and then the zero blitz.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I just...
It's got to get better.
Good luck. 215-592-9494. Corey of Columbus starts us off. Corey, you're on WIP.
Come on, C.
Hey man, look, I'm gonna put my analyst hat on first. Listen, what does Ike say? What's that drop? Everything is hard. Why is every single drive is hard? Like, and like just kind of like what Spike talked about. Like Daniel Jones was thrown away. Now you put him in Indy like the best quarterback. Like I get it. Some people don't think Jalen is top five. I don't care where you got him at. But even Jake Browning came in for the Bengals. He started lighting up, passing the ball. Why can't we move the football? Russell Wilson ain't looked good in 10 years. He threw 500 yards on the Cowboys on a team that we couldn't even move the ball against. I don't know whose fault it is, but we got to get it figured out. Now, we won the game. You know what I'm saying? That's all I care about, 2-0 last year. You know, we lost week two, so, you know, that's a plus, as long as we're winning. But even if people bring up 2023, we was not this bad. No. 2023, A.J. Brown broke a record, 7 straight games, 125 yards.
That's
like,
true.
That
feels so long
man,
ago.
Man, it feels like that was 8 years ago, man. Seriously.
We was able to move the football.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand why we can't move the football. And defensive ball. We gotta go out and we gotta get a corner. I'm gonna tell you why. The defense looked good yesterday, but we're gonna have to win a lot. We gonna need the defense to get back to how they were. They looked great yesterday. Jackson gotta go. I'm sorry.
Who?
Dory Jackson.
Yeah.
Go. I'm back. Dory Jackson gotta go, right? I can't do a Dory Jackson no more. We gotta get him up out of there because even when he do good, it's bad. He bat the ball down. They still catch you. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we're going to have to win defensive football games until we figure out the offense. Because as of right now, this team, I just don't know.
Can I tell you my concern on that part of it, Corey, is last year it was funny. When we saw the schedule last year, we all looked at the bye week being week 5, and we said, oh, that's too early. And as it turned out, it ended up being a blessing last year that the bye week was week 5. Yeah. We don't have that this year. The bye week's not until week 8, week 9, something like that. So it is and remember also, and they both said this, is that in that documentary about last season, Jalen said that he and Nick Sirianni were talking for 3 or 4 hours a day during that bye week to just try to figure out how to get the offense right.
Yeah, well, and real quick too.
Yeah.
Like, I just gotta. I don't know what it is, but it's like you said. I don't want to say seeing people open, but it's like it's something that's not connected. Like I don't know what it is. I don't know, but it's not. Hey, Saquon done got hit more in 2 games than he did all last season. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get this figured out. Also, on the way out.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you used to kill my boy Carson Wentz. That boy in Cincinnati might be 2.0. I'll holler at y'all.
Wait, what did he say about Carson?
He's basically
he thinks Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow is just as injury prone as Carson Wentz.
He might be. I mean, the Joe Burrow is this great is, this, when he plays. That's a lot of injuries.
This is a difficult one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically another season gone.
Yeah, if he's out for 3 months after the surgery, it is. It, the
And you can blame the offensive line all you want, but and you can't blame Joe Burrow for getting hurt. I mean, but at a certain point, it just is what it is.
Oh, Wentz got blamed for getting hurt.
Yeah. Wow. You did that.
I did not blame Wentz for getting hurt.
Put batteries in everyone's back around here. Right. Yep.
Is that what we're doing here?
I'd still take Burrow.
I didn't. Yeah.
Oh,
I,
of course. Come on, yes. Man.
It is tough.
Over
mean,
Wentz? Yeah.
No. When they eventually open up trade discussions.
What'd you think of the
game? We're bringing him home.
Well, he certainly can't be ranked in front of Jalen now.
No.
Well, that's fine.
Carson?
No.
Oh,
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, well, it's
he can't be ranked in front of Hurts now.
Yeah, we'll see how he finishes the season.
Can't be ranked in front of Hurts.
We'll see.
What if he comes in, leads him to the Super Bowl? Yeah, Jake Brown and keeps him alive.
Just keep him alive, Jake. Come on, Jakey.
What'd you think yesterday, Jack?
So on one hand, spill it.
Yeah.
On one hand, I'm proud of the Eagles. Like they went out there and they are a physically dominant football team. Like on that instance, it's awesome. Like the defense is great. Going to win a game in Arrowhead and give Mahomes his first three-game losing streak and watching Chris Jones just complain the entire game and it feels like the Eagles are in their head. Like, on that instance, it's awesome. Like, that's really fun. I feel like we do have a dominant football team. They win just so ugly. And my fear is that, like, I just don't think that this is sustainable on offense. The play isn't sustainable. And the AJ thing's just going to happen at some point. And we can keep talking around it or whatever, but he's not happy with what is currently happening on offense and like what they're doing. Like he just holds them back on a weekly basis. Jalen, he just holds them back every single week.
Holds them back.
Yes.
That's kind of strong.
He holds them back every single week. It's just, they should be so much better on offense. They always are stuck in neutral.
Yeah.
And when he can pass the ball in a good quarterback way, they're great. Look at the NFC Championship game. Look at the Super Bowl. But for the those are the outliers. Those are the outliers for the current status of Jalen.
You know what? I truly do want to know what Nick Sirianni thinks.
I would love to know what he
about
thinks.
This passing game. And at some point, they're going to have to be transparent about the struggles there. Like, the idea that everything's fine, we just win.
Because they won.
Yeah, because they won. Like, at some point, fellas, when you do lose, you're going to have to answer for it.
Because
you have to answer for it.
When they win and the defense doesn't look good, they'll say, Nick was very clear last year, we got to get better at tackling.
You got to tackle better.
You know, Vic Fangio is very clear about when defensive players don't play well. On offense, we sometimes make pretend.
Right.
That we did enough to win. And, you know, I wasn't here for the 23 season, but I imagine during
it was
season,
a lot of
talking ourselves into, you know, everything's fine, even though they won games. And
yeah, until
so
the
skill.
Niners game. But this defense is better than that defense.
Oh, like, sure.
Oh, yeah, way better.
Like, they're going to win way games better. This year because they're tough. They don't turn the ball over. They have the tush-push. I think Sirianni's made really good in-game decisions. Like, I think that in-game he's doing well. Elliott's really good. But they're never going to win the way that I think people think they should win.
Well, you're always living on the edge playing like this.
Yep.
Sure.
And you may get by it for a little while in the season, but then it catches up to you.
I mean, we are two drop passes away from 0-2 on some level. Now, you can say that about every team, every game, but a CD drop and a Travis Kelce drop, who knows what happens in either of those games. And that they're putting themselves in position, and they're putting the stress on the defense – to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, when they talked to him today, and asking about the passing game and why it's not clicking when you got the level of talent that you have at your disposal. Like, are you kidding me? They're paying $60 million in wide receivers, over $60 million, and they're not doing that for 100 yards a game.
No.
Along with a $55 million quarterback.
Yeah, no matter what they tell you, they're not.
Like, they're not doing that for 100 yards a game, man.
All right. So
got to get better.
Rest of the show is yours, 215-592-9494. Speaking of Nick Sirianni, he'll speak at 3:15. We will bring that to you. Donovan McNabb will be a great person to talk to.
Big five?
Donovan joins us at 4. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Join us tonight for the Jordan Mailata Show at 6 with Jordan, Elliot Shore Parks, and myself. And then the first edition of the Players Lounge this year. Ike Reese, Cam Jurgens is the special guest tonight.
Jurgens.
And Elliot there too.
Are you going to grill Cam about if he has any mushroom jerky yet?
I think he's going to have some.
All right.
Here. I think,
all right.
Well, not Exciting. His mushroom jerky, but his real jerky, I believe,
okay.
is going to be here.
Perfect.
All right. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.